Most High God, open our ears, awaken our minds to hear the Holy Word. Bring it to us, we pray, in the power of your Spirit. Rebuke us and encourage us. Grant us growth and grace. Cause us to be truly sorrowful for our sins and sincerely grateful for the love of Christ. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 12 this morning, page 638 in the Pew Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 12. Let us give our attention to God's holy word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into, and thus we end the reading of God's holy word. Today, I'm speaking to you about hope. Hope is something that everyone needs. Hope is something that is necessary for you to have a contented life. And Peter writes to his readers about this hope. I started to say I hope, but I desire that each of you here today has hope. And I know that from time to time we get disappointed and our hope gets damaged, or our feeling of hope or our sense of hope. But I want you to be renewed in your hope today as we study this passage of Scripture. I hope that I did it again. It's my desire that you leave the building today with a stronger sense of your hope, or at least a renewed sense of that hope. Hope is the expectancy of some future good. Hope has to do with the future. And everyone needs to believe that there is something good in the future for them in order for them to be satisfied. And if you are a Christian, I can assure you that that is true for you. Don't you hope for a world in which there is no sin? Don't you hope for a time when you will sin no more? Don't you hope for that future promise to come true, that you will one day have uninterrupted fellowship with your God for all eternity? God has made some very precious promises to you, to all His children, to all those who repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian hope, let me tell you, Christian hope is not a wish. There is a difference between a wish and Christian hope. We say sometimes something like, "I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I plan to wash my car." Well, that's not Christian hope. That's more like a wish. Christian hope is sure and steadfast because it's based on the promises of God. I will disappoint you, and you will disappoint me, because we are human beings. And we disappoint one another, and our hope burns low when we think of each other, because we are imperfect. But Titus 1 verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Titus 1 verse 2. You hope for eternal life? Well, God promised it to you. The Christian has only one basis for hope, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Had God not sent His Son, you would be hopeless. And at one time you were hopeless. Remember? Ephesians 2 verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12, and how miserable was your life then? Your life should never be that miserable again if your hope is in Christ. Yes, yes, we all will have our troubles, but we should never be as miserable as we were without Christ. Christian hope is a living hope, Peter tells us here. It does not disappear. It is kept alive by God's Word and Spirit. You might say, "My hope has died." But if you're a Christian, you're wrong. You may feel like it has died sometimes, but if you're a Christian, it hasn't. And it won't. Because God's promises are true. And His Son is faithful. Now you know, this living hope is closely related to faith. If God gives you faith, you hope for that which He has promised. So today I want to focus on this hope. And I want to remind you that hope is not possible without Christ. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, Paul wrote, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." 1 Timothy 1 1. What is your hope? Your hope is Jesus. He lives. He is your hope. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Colossians 1:27. You, Christian, have Christ living in you, and that is your hope. He is your hope. You may have thought you lost your hope, but if you're a Christian, you have not. For Christ is still alive, and He's alive in you. Along with that, the Word of the Lord gives you hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Romans 15:4. Is your hope burning low? Turn to the Scriptures. Read, pray, meditate. That is where your hope will be renewed. And today is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will renew and refresh your hope, or give you hope, as we study this passage of Scripture. 1 Peter 1, 3-12 speaks of your living hope. Under these four headings, on the back page of your bulletin, you'll find it broken down. First of all, your hope is described. Secondly, we see that your living hope is accompanied by an inheritance. Thirdly, along with your living hope, you have trials. And fourthly, living hope leads you to rejoice in salvation. First of all, your living hope is described in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Blessed be our God and Father. Do you bless Him? Do you praise Him that He has given you hope? Do you think about Him as you go through your days? And do you constantly in your heart, if not out loud, praise your God? You should. Because without Him and His love for you, you would genuinely have no hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter praises Him. And especially he praises Him for regeneration. According to God's abundant mercy, He has begotten us Christians again to a living hope. If you have been born of the Spirit, if you have been given new life by the Spirit of God so that you repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that has happened to you, if He has opened your eyes to see the truth of the gospel and repent of your sins and trust in Christ, you've been born again and you have a living hope. God gave you that birth. It's a precious gift. God gave you spiritual life. Many Christians are confused about this. You can tell by their language. Don't be confused about this. This is the heart of your Christian life. God gave it to you. You were dead in sin, and God made you alive. One day a father and a son were having a conversation, so it is told. And they began to have an argument, so much that the son was provoked to say, "Well, I didn't ask to be born in the first place." And the father said to the son, "Well, if you had, the answer might have been no. You didn't ask to be born again either. God gave you that by His grace. And if you have experienced the new birth, you have this hope, this living hope in His great mercy. God saw you in your need and hopelessness and gave you hope. And He gave you hope, verse 3 says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Son, from the dead. And Christ, being raised from the dead, is the first fruits, the promise of more to come. If you have an apple orchard, all of your apples on all of your trees don't become ripe on the same day, do they? A few of them begin to appear to ripen before the others. And gradually others until they all become ripe. But when you see the first ones becoming ripe, you know what? You know that others will ripen, and that's the promise of others to ripen. And Christ's resurrection from the dead by the Father is the promise of yours. As in Adam, all die. Adam being the representative head of all human beings. As in Adam, all die. When he sinned, we died spiritually in him. So in Christ, all shall be made alive. Christ, the representative head of His elect, His true church, when He arose from the dead, He is the guarantee of your resurrection from the dead. And it may not be on your mind this morning that one day you're going to die, but it will be on your mind one day when you have bad health or when someone else in your family dies. And you have this sure promise that God raised Jesus from the dead and He gave you a living hope that your body will rise too. Because if you're not thinking about it today, one day you'll ask yourself, what in the world is going to happen to me when I die? There's a great hymn about this by Christian Gellert. Jesus lives, and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. He who deigned for me to die lives, the bands of death to sever. He shall raise me from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. He's the first fruits. God gave you hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So bless Him, praise Him, glorify Him because He gave you this hope. That hope is described in verse 3. Secondly, your living hope is accompanied by an inheritance. In verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God has given you an inheritance, not like your earthly inheritance. Your earthly inheritance possibly could be burned up. It possibly could be stolen from you. It possibly could be given to someone else. without your knowing it until that day when it's revealed to you. But your heavenly inheritance, your inheritance from God, cannot be taken away. It will be yours regardless of what happens to you here on earth. It is reserved for you in heaven. Jesus said that He went to heaven to prepare a place for you. And He said, if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Your inheritance is reserved in heaven, not on earth, where it can burn up or be stolen. The most glorious part of this inheritance is that you will be with the Lord forever. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, Paul writes to the brethren there, and he tells them about this. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. That is your hope, Christian. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You have a hope, and you have an inheritance. And ultimately, your inheritance is God Himself. Yes. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him." Your portion is the Lord. Lamentations 3:24. Your living hope includes an inheritance. Now then, in verse 5, Peter goes on to say, "You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You Christians are kept by the power of God. And that's a good thing, because you can't keep yourself. You know, I can't keep myself. And when we love each other as Christians, and we encourage each other and help each other, but we can't keep each other. You see? Only God can keep us. We are kept by the power of God. God is keeping you. He is your keeper. You see, and you need to be kept, because you're a weak, struggling, saved sinner if you're a Christian, and you're imperfect yet. God is keeping you, and He's continuing this hope in you for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, you're already saved, but the fullness of the salvation will be revealed in the last time when Jesus comes back to earth. So rejoice and hope in God, for you have an inheritance. Thirdly, along with your living hope, you have trials. Oh, you knew this was coming, didn't you? Oh yeah, it sounds good so far, but then there's this. Then there's this thing about trials. Yes, there is. In verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials." Well, that's the tough part, isn't it? Here on earth, we have various trials. Trials of different kinds. Trials in relationships, trials in the family, trials in the marriage, trials at work, trials with the car, trials with the bank account. And these will grieve you. You've been grieved by various trials. So you won't sleep, and you can't eat, and you're not comfortable, and your heart races. and heavy sorrows come upon you.
Well, but Pastor, I thought you said we had hope.
Well, you do. You have hope even in your trials, see? You will wonder why you have to be grieved like this. And remember, we bring a lot of trials on ourselves by our mistakes and sins, by our hatred, by our cruelty toward other people. We bring a lot of trials upon ourselves by being uncooperative. And remember, the Apostle Peter is addressing more than that, the trials you endure as a Christian. The trials you endure for following Christ. So remember that as well. You wonder why, but verse 7 helps you with the answer. Peter says then in verse 7 that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That your faith may be tested. Gold has to be tested, so to speak. It has to be put in the fire so the impurities can be taken out. And so that you have a purer gold. And you have to be tested. And your tests do not come by accident. In high school, one of my teachers was the football coach. And Coach Miller taught civics. Coach Miller was famous for his pop quizzes. They were all the same. 5 questions. Now, if you're thinking about making a good grade, how much does it count off if you miss 1 of 5? Oh yeah, 20 points. 5 questions. 20 points each. True, false. And were they tricky? Yes, they were tricky. True, false. Coach Miller was famous for his pop quizzes. You know what that taught us? Always be prepared. Do your homework. When a trial comes up, the Lord gives you pop quizzes too, you know. You do anticipate some of the trials, but you don't anticipate some of the trials. Right? The Lord tests you. They are to prove the genuineness of your faith. You must prayerfully and thoughtfully take these tests. Even in your pain, you still have to meditate on the Word. You still have to pray. Even in the pain, you still have to hope. You see? Because regardless of your trials, Christ's promise is still true. And faith is like your muscles. The more you exercise them, the stronger they get. The more you exercise your faith, the stronger it gets. And so it is with your hope. And thus the Lord tests us with trials. That your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the last day of history, your genuine faith will glorify the Lord. In the last day of history, if your faith is genuine, the Lord will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Enter into the kingdom promised to you. But you need the trials. You need the trials along with your hope. Fourthly and finally, living hope leads you to rejoice in salvation. Verse 8 says, you love Jesus and rejoice. If you have hope, if you're a Christian, you love Jesus and you rejoice. Well, you should. Sometimes we're not so good at rejoicing. Or I should speak of myself. Sometimes we let the trials overwhelm us. You don't see Jesus now, but you love Him. Verse 8 says, do you love Him? The author of this epistle knows what it means to love Jesus.
Amen.
Does he ever?
Amen.
Jesus gave Peter a lesson in loving him like he gave to no one else. A humiliating, embarrassing, meaningful, profound lesson. Simon, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And what was Jesus' reply? Feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't just say the words. Our words can be empty or they can be meaningful. Do you love him? If you love him, if you want to spend time with him, if you want to pray to him, if you want to have fellowship with him, if you want to be in his church with his people worshiping him, if you want to serve him and you really love him, you have this hope in you. Having not seen him, you love him, Peter says. Peter saw him. His readers here did not. Verse 8 says, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You believe in Christ. Believe in him in all seasons of life. When your hope is high and when it's low. When your trials are many and when they're few. When they're weighing heavy upon you and when they're not.
Amen.
You rejoice with a different kind of joy. Not because your favorite team won. But because you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is joy inexpressible and full of glory. How can you tell a pagan about Jesus? Wow, he doesn't know the joy yet. But God willing, he might in the future. But you know it. You remember what Jesus has done for you and what he is doing for you and what he will do for you. But if you forget that, you'll stop rejoicing. You receive salvation in verse 9. If there's anything that will keep you from thinking about your salvation and its coming in fullness in the future, it's your trials. You know very well that I have been there. Lying on a hospital bed. Sometimes all you can think about is, can I lift up my head? Can I sit on the side of the bed? How do I walk? Right foot forward. Left foot forward. Yes, we've been there. We've been there when we've been ill, when we've been weak, when we've been troubled. When almost all of our energy is focused on this trial, we forget about the living hope. It's easy to do. Keep your focus on the Lord. You're receiving His salvation. And the prophets knew something about this salvation. In verse 10, the prophets prophesied of the grace that would come to us believers and to believers in the first century after the coming of Christ to the earth. In verse 11, we are told that the prophets wanted to know who would bring that grace and at what time. They were looking for the Messiah. They spoke of Him, for example, in Psalm 16, Isaiah 53, and other places in the Old Testament period. The Holy Spirit spoke to them about the glories that would follow the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the coming of the Spirit, the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And then in verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The prophets were told those things that they would have. First century preachers preached them to Peter's readers. People have preached it to us. And the angels know a lot, but even they are watching God's salvation plan unfold with great desire. What a privilege we have to experience these things from the Lord Jesus. The hope that God gives you leads you to rejoice in your salvation. You Christians then have a living hope. God causes you to be born again to this living hope. You repent of your sin, you trust in Christ, you have hope in Him and Him alone. Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Jesus lives.
Amen.
And so will you. Keep on hoping. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. For I tell you a truth. You can depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.